everybody. It's Joanna. I'm so sorry I'm a couple minutes late. It's been one of those kinds of mornings. But anyway, I'm so happy to be here with all of you. And I'm really looking forward to this training and masterminding that we're going to be doing today. We're going to take the next steps into looking at copy. And as I mentioned on the Facebook group, really the women in this group, in this circle, you guys have reached a certain level of mastery when it comes to copy. You're well beyond the basics. You're doing really well. And there are always deeper places to go. There are always more effective places to go. There are always more ways to get more engagement and more activation. And we're going to be looking at some of those pieces today. So so let's take a moment and let's just get centered and settled so that you're fully open and prepared and just ready to receive and look more deeply today into how you're approaching your writing. So wherever you are, I invite you to close your eyes. Feel your seat beneath you. Really allow yourself to settle in. Inhaling and exhaling. Using the breath to bring yourself present to our time together and to yourself and to your body. And using the breath to slow down the pace if it's gotten a little too revved up so far today. Together, we'll take another deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in and out. And as you breathe in this way, I invite you to connect in with your relationship to your copy, to your writing, to the words that you write, to the ways that you write, to your habits around writing. And what is that relationship currently like for you? Is it a harmonious relationship where you're excited to sit down and write, and the writing flows easily and wonderfully from you? Is there tension in that relationship? Does it feel like a fight or a battle for each word or each sentence? Does it feel like a neglected relationship where in your heart you want to be making more time and space for your copy, but you just don't really get around to it, and then it's just rush, rush, rush to get it out? Is there a longing in that relationship, a deep knowing that there is something more for you there, but you just haven't been able to figure it out? What is that relationship with your copy like? And just make note, without judgment, of what that is. And then ask yourself, what would you like for the relationship to be like? What would be an ideal relationship with your copy? And then just allowing your eyes to flutter open. So I want to start off by saying that I know that there are different kinds of, you know, in the group, there are not only different kinds of relationship to your writing, but there are different level, how do I want to say it? Some of you are writing your own copy, and some of you are being supported by others, right? Other people maybe on your team or people that you're hiring are writing your copy. And no matter where you fall in that spectrum, the pieces that we're going to look at today are vital for you to know and to connect in with. Because even if you're not writing your own copy, you still need to share with your copywriter, or if the copy is, you know, even just like autoresponder emails to your community or your groups, right? Whatever it is, we're kind of, you know, look at it as like all kind of writing. Even if you're not the person that's actually writing the copy, there are fundamental pieces that you need to be able to share with your copywriter. And it's not just the content. So similar for those of you that were at our June retreat in the last cycle of EHA, when we began to look at branding. And I was sharing that, you know, for most of us, we don't do our own branding. Even if we have someone who's doing the branding and doing the design for us, we still need to understand the energy and the feel of our business in order to give those folks information to go on, right? And the same thing is with your writing. The second piece I want to mention, and I know that this is obvious, and probably you all know this, but I think it's actually just really important to mention and to share, is that your copy, the strength of your copy, can make all of the difference in a launch, in a sale, in bringing, you know, one new client on or 100 new clients on at the same time, bringing one new member into your community or many, many members into your community. So it's, at least for myself, it's a skill and a, you know, an area of my business that I keep on coming back to. So there are a couple of places, like I said, you all have a certain understanding and a certain level of mastery, and I'm not going to go over the basics. I want to get into some of the other places, particularly as I've been reading, you know, your copy, and you know, I read everybody's copy in the group. You know, some places that I think would be great to go into a little more deeply. And so the first place is your voice. So what do I mean when I say voice? Well, any kind of writing that you do, marketing or otherwise, has a voice in it. And when you're writing at your highest level, at your most effective level, the voice that you're writing in is going to be unique and memorable and absolutely 100% authentically you. So this is different than content. This is different than what's the kind of information that you're giving. This is different than you're activating gap, you're activating vision, you're showing how you're the bridge. All of those things are very, very important. But what is behind all of those things, or you know, hanging out in all of those things, is your voice. If you think about, we don't even, you know, let's move away from marketing for just a moment. If you think about, I don't know if you guys are readers, like until I had kids, I was an avid reader. I love reading fiction and nonfiction and all of that. And when you think about your favorite books, whether they're fiction or nonfiction books, most likely the books that you love the most, the books that are the most memorable, aren't just because it was a great story, a great memoir, a great biography, a great fiction, or it wasn't only because the content was really great, but most really memorable books and favorite books are because the reader falls in love with the narrator of the book, right? Again, fiction or nonfiction, right? So in the nonfiction world, for example, like when I read Eat, Pray, Love, it was a great story. I loved the story. I loved the content. But what made it like really, really touch into my soul deeply was that I fell in love with Elizabeth Gilbert. I fell in love with who she was. I fell in love with her voice, the way that she was narrating the story. Brené Brown, you know, who's totally nonfiction, right? Her content is so smart. I love everything that she writes around vulnerability or perfectionism, but someone else delivering that, another narrator, another voice, may not have impacted me, even if it was the same content, may not have impacted me as deeply. I fell in love not just with Brené Brown's content, but with her voice. Her voice really activates me. It engages me. It really touches me and speaks to me. Even in the world of total fiction, so many people, for example, love Huckleberry Finn, right? Huck Finn. It's a great story. It's a great work of American fiction. It's a beautiful adventure. But it's not just the adventure that's so captivating. It's the narrator's voice in that story. Even a villain like the narrator of Lolita, right? Nabokov's Lolita. Not such a nice person, but it's such a great book and it's so memorable and it sticks in your mind, not just because of the story, but because the narrator has such a unique voice. So I hope that I'm describing this in a way that you guys can understand. When I'm talking about voice, I'm talking about the qualities of your unique voice, who you are on your different layers and your different levels. And then how that comes through, not just in your content, but literally in the sound of your writing. So maybe I think it'll be helpful to begin to do some exploration. So what are the qualities of your unique voice? And when I say that, what I mean is I want you to begin to identify, are you lighthearted, for example? Are you funny? Are you raw? Are you sacred? Are you southern? Are you foreign? Are you lyrical or poetic? Do you love talking about bling or, you know, whatever it is, right? So I'll give you a moment to just begin to jot down what are the qualities of your unique voice. And a good way to determine this is to think about who you are when you're talking directly with a client, one-on-one, who you are when you're talking to your closest friends. What are the qualities that come through there? Something to note when it comes to voice is that nobody's voice is one-dimensional. So take myself, for example. For the most part, my voice, which I hope comes through in my writing, actually has so much to do with my branding words, right? Authentic, wise, intuitive. A sense of sacredness. That is so much who I am. But you guys know me well enough to also know that I have no problem using cuss words. I have no problem cursing. And I like to crack jokes too. Those pieces aren't going to come out as strongly in my writing voice, but they do come out sometimes. In my writing voice, right? And writing voice, by the way, also includes posts on Facebook, right? Whatever it is. But those are elements of me that make up this layered voice. So similar to personalities, right? And for those of you that are into astrology, I'm very into astrology. You know, in astrology, there's a talk of the mask. And then there's a talk of what's behind the mask. So the mask is the ascendant. And the mask isn't bad. We actually all need the ascendant, which is like what you first see when you see someone, the qualities of someone that you first see when you meet them, or maybe you just spend a half hour talking to them. And then there's like the qualities behind that are the depths, right? So why is this important? Because as human beings, we categorize, and we need to simplify. Like we our brains like to categorize information and simplify information. So when we first meet someone, we do need to just judge them by like maybe three characteristics at most, right? This person is quiet, is inward, and is soft. We need to first perceive that. But then when we get to know them better, we can also say, like, oh, and this person also has this wry sense of humor, right, or whatever it is. So in your writing, you want the ascendant, the main qualities, the mask, again, not using mask in the kind of shadow ways that people can use it, right, but just in this ascendant type way. You want that to, is that's what's going to mainly come through your writing, and then you can flourish it with layers. And take a moment and just think about any, you know, any writers that you follow, or you follow their marketing, or, you know, their blogs, or, you know, whatever it is. Think for a moment, like, what's their singular voice, right? What is the quality? What is the energy of their voice? You'll know right away if this is someone who, like, loves to listen to Justin Bieber and uses all of the modern day, like, millennial lingo, right? Or if this is someone who's just, like, totally fierce and is, you know, like, using hell yeahs and, you know, that kind of thing, or, you know, whatever the energy is. One isn't worse or better or worse than another. What you want is for your writing voice to match your authentic self. So let's pause here for a moment. I want to check in and hear how this is landing and what you're seeing and learning so far. So, Star 7, what are you seeing so far?
Hey, Joanna. It's Rhea.
Hi, Rhea.
Good morning. I think I have this sort of love-hate relationship with writing, and most of the time it's a struggle, but when I guess I hit my authentic voice, as you call it, stuff just flows very easily. That's when I write my best copy, and that's where I get the most response from. And when I sort of write what I think are, because my writing tends to be pretty intense. And so when I write pieces that are not that intense, it just does, there's some sort of discord. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
And so I think you're saying is right on.
Yeah. Because you're an intense person.
Yeah.
So that voice, that doesn't mean that it has to be heavy. Heavy and intense are two different things, right? And the subtleties here are actually really important. So it doesn't mean that it has to be heavy. It doesn't mean that it has to go on forever and ever and ever.
Right.
But when you're writing from that intense place, that's when it's easiest for you, and that's when people respond the most.
Right. I think so. Yeah. I am also kind of witty and funny.
You are. I was going to say that. I was actually going to say that. You have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it'd be good for that to come out. And it does come out in your writing sometimes. I do see that.
The issue for me is, though, that it's very hard to get to that place where it just flows.
We're going to talk a little bit about that in a couple minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that in a couple minutes.
All right.
Good. Thank you. Who else? What are you seeing so far?
Star 6, what do I use?
Yep, Star 6 to put yourself back on mute, and Star 7 to share.
Hi, it's Natalie.
Hi, Natalie.
So I'm really glad that you're having this topic now, because I'm really starting to realize what a bad relationship I have with writing and how it needs to change. Like, I need couples therapy. Relationship. To writing.
Can you talk a little bit more about that? What's going on?
Yeah.
Well,
interesting. Like, when you first started talking about this and, like, you know, in the grounding, I felt like my chest was tightening. I was feeling, like, really uncomfortable. Like, I was literally feeling it in my body and, like, trying to breathe through it and real, like, being conscious of myself, sort of the inner and the outer, of what was happening in my body. And so, you know, and I know, like, and I have written on my desktop, it takes more energy to not write than it does to write. And I love writing. It's like the thing that it used to be my thing. Like, I used to just love writing letters. Like, that was the kind of thing. I could write in my own voice without any self-consciousness. But there's something that's happened to me since I've become a business owner, specifically about mommy wise, since I've been, like, not loving it, that I've just been having this horrible relationship with writing, and I've been avoiding it like the plague. And, you know, and occasionally I get into that groove where I'm like, oh, this is not hard. And it tends to be like when it's not something that is visible that I can write, like if I'm not trying to write a newsletter or a blog piece or something that's going to be visible, like I have no problem writing course content. You know, like if I sit down and like sort of type out, okay, well, here's the outline, and I sort of fill it in like I'm talking because I know I'm going to be talking. Mm. I can write that without having any, you know, like chest pain.
So,
but,
yeah, I'm so glad you're bringing this forward because this is exactly, there is a relationship, and this is exactly why I started off the call in the meditation by looking at, you know, what's your relationship with writing? There's a relationship between your relationship with writing and your voice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what Natalie is saying and what came through and what Rhea was sharing is that the more you can connect in to your authentic voice, the easier the relationship with writing is going to be. Because what I hear you saying, Natalie, is that when you're just writing from your voice, when you're not like writing, you know, oh my gosh, this is a newsletter going out to a bazillion people, which is where we tend to then stifle our unique voice. But if we're just thinking, I'm talking to one person, I'm talking to my group of people, you know, whatever, my small group of people, our true authentic voice comes through. So what I'm hearing is that when you're just, you know, writing from that authentic voice place, there's much more flow.
Mhm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. Thank you.
So the idea, and here's one tip, is that when you sit down to write your newsletter, to write your marketing copy, to write for your website, don't write to 5,000 people. Write to one person. Think about one person you know that would receive so much value from what you're writing and pretend like you're speaking to that person. The authentic voice is more likely to come through there, and then the flow is more likely to come through.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Awesome. Who else? What's coming through? What's coming up? What are you seeing? What are you noticing about your voice?
Hi, Joanna. It's Melanie.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi. Mine's pretty brief over here. It's similar to Natalie and Rhea that I, when I feel in the flow with my voice, the words come really easy. When I sit down and I try to force it, doesn't work so well. I will say that I feel like there's a celebration here that more recent, I've been much more committed to my newsletter since January and consistent and persistent with that. And I feel like the more consistent and persistent I am in writing and having that be an every 2-week newsletter sent out deadline, the more in practice I am, the easier it is. So
yeah.
That is something I'm really noticing.
Yeah.
And the other thing I noticed. Go ahead. Oh,
I was saying that is a celebration. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's such a celebration. And I've been getting really great feedback from my newsletters. I feel like I'm engaging my community again. It feels really good. I also noticed that, and this is just something I feel curious about, is that when I write posts on Facebook, it flows really pretty easy. I mean, sometimes I'll notice myself filtering or editing of thinking of people that might see it. And for the most part, I've let go of those ideas and stories and just been like, fuck it. And that there's still more resistance when I write my newsletter. So it comes easy when I post on Facebook, easier.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes more of a block in the newsletter. So I feel curious about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Try this on for size and see if it lands.
Okay.
Facebook is closer to just being in conversation with people. Yeah. So we're back to like, oh, I'm just having a conversation with some people. You're just automatically in your voice.
Yeah.
Whereas newsletter, we feel like it's market, you know, it's, even if we know that Facebook is marketing, right? Like newsletter feels different. And so
that's
what I'm suggesting is approach your newsletter the way that you approach Facebook.
Okay. Yeah, I think sometimes I get stuck in, now that you're saying that, where an insight just came through. I'm sensing that I get stuck in the gap vision bridge. Like, I need to activate gap vision bridge. So I'm not going to talk about how I went to pizza last night and blah, 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 whatever. Like, I tend to filter more in there because I think there's this idea that gap vision bridge, I don't want it to be too long. I don't want to, like, have it be a 10-page newsletter, blah, 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 done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think comes up for me.
Yeah, yeah, so that's so great. So gap vision bridge, like, all of that is really important. But what I recommend is that you look at that second.
Okay.
And what you focus on first is just having your authentic voice pour forward what it wants to say and in the way that it wants to say, and then to go back and edit it. It might be a little bit of a longer process, but your writing, I think, will get even stronger.
Okay, that feels good. I like that.
And by the way, that's my writing process. I barf everything out. I don't think, obviously in my mind somewhere there's gap vision bridge and hit this and hit that, right, all that stuff. But, like, I put that aside and I connect in with what is it that I want to say and how do I want to say this? Who am I being in this? And I literally just, like, barf it out, and then I go back and I edit it.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's
before I let
you
go, Melanie, what are some of the qualities of your unique voice that you're seeing?
Playful, mm-hmm. lighthearted, and deep at the same time. It's a very subtle lightness but depth, and authentic. I feel like my impassionate, vulnerable, real, soft, feminine, sassy, and direct. I think I said all those. So that's what I feel like is my writing.
Yeah, beautiful. So that's, you want to make sure that comes through in the writing, right? So you can do a litmus test, right? And I'm sharing this with Melanie, and this is for everyone, right? Whatever characteristics you've identified, you want to make sure that those characteristics are coming through in your writing. So this is just a question for everyone now, with the characteristics that you wrote down for yourself, just take a moment and assess, do those match up with the way that your writing voice sounds? And just take a look for yourself.
You want me to put myself back on mute?
Yeah, you can put yourself back on mute. Thanks, Melanie.
Okay. Bye.
Joanna, it's Laura, but if you need to move on, that's okay.
Not at all. Not at all. This is really important, and we're going to go even deeper here into voice. So, anything that is coming up, let us know.
Yeah. So, I mean, very similarly to Rhea, I sometimes worry that my voice is too intense and heavy-handed, too serious, what really is striking me is that with my blog, I think that a lot of the time I'm really connected in to my true voice. Copy for programs is like something that I would say I have more of a neglectful relationship with and struggle more with. Because it feels too formulaic, maybe. I'm not sure what. So anyway, that kind of just came through for me, was that it's a lot easier for me when I'm writing a blog post because I just feel more free to just do it whatever the heck I want to with that thing, to connect in. And the other thing that I thought about was that when I'm getting too intellectual, sometimes I get too intellectual, and that can really mask my true voice and make
yeah.
me less relatable and connected in.
That,
so it's just
that
something that I want to watch.
That came up in one of our first retreats together, too.
It did.
Do you
yeah.
remember that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Totally
and,
yeah.
Yeah. And I would yeah. really agree. Like, you are very, very smart. And you, like, your PhD, like, you have, you know, you've done the research. It's, that is a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes out as most of you, that's really, like, a hiding for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not
mm-hmm.
that it shouldn't be in there at all, because I actually do think that's a little bit of a part of you. But
mm-hmm.
when that's the biggest piece, you know that that's not really your true self coming forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Mhm.
And then again, because this is just so important, I want you guys to really get this, when you're talking about the formulaic piece, you know, particularly
mm-hmm.
for sales pages and things like that, yes,
mm-hmm.
there is some formula for sure in them. And as I was sharing with Melanie, the formula is important, but that's not what you want to focus on first.
Right.
If you focused
right, right.
on first,
yeah.
that on that first, it's very hard to insert your voice in afterwards.
Totally,
it's
yeah, yeah.
It's much easier to have your voice as the base
yeah.
and then rearrange things as needed.
Yep, that is really, yes, that, I'm writing that down, yep. There was one other thought that came through. This is just, I'm curious about this one, is I think that at times you can go in one direction or the other too far, meaning one direction being really being tuned into your voice, but in a way that's almost more like you're journaling for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can go so far into trying to connect in with your ideal client that I think you can also go too far in that direction. Get a little bit lost. I'm not sure if I have a question exactly, but I would just be curious to hear your reflections on that kind of sweet spot or that intersection between your true voice and continuing to deepen into exactly what it is that you sense your community needs to hear from you.
Yeah. So it's such a great question. And again, I go back, it's similar to the voice first, formula second.
Mm.
So, like, what is your voice really? Like, if we're going to get, you know, a little meta about this, your voice is really like the voice inside your head, right? Like how you
mm-hmm.
are. You might be a little harsher with yourself or this or that, but, like, that's your voice, right? And
right.
so, you know, for me, the voice inside of my head is very complex. It's very, like, psychological oriented. It's very analytical, right? And that comes through in my right. Like, I just posted something on Facebook this morning that's like, you know, my ego and my fear at the same time, my joy and my sad, you know, like explaining all the stuff that's in my head. But so yes, I'm putting that in there, but before I'm clicking post or before I'm letting it off into the newsletter, then I'm rereading and I'm editing and I'm thinking about formula. I'm thinking about ideal client and what is going to really serve and support the reader to hear, you know, all of that.
Okay. Yeah.
Is that helpful?
Yeah. I mean, I think that to a certain degree that is what I try to do too. To make sure that I'm okay, like now I'm speaking directly to you with it, but I think that with the formula piece, I connect into the client more than the formula in my head a lot of the time. So I think that I need to look more at that.
Connect in.
Okay.
Wait, I just don't understand.
Well, it's easier for me to connect into, like, again, in a blog post. Funneling what came through, like, yeah, the inner thoughts in my own head into speaking
yeah.
directly to, like, imagining
yeah.
that one woman and like, this is
yeah.
a love letter to her. Like, that is something that flows pretty well for me. But it's more, I think, going from what's really wanting to be said within me and then putting it into something that feels like a good formula for a sales page, that's something that I can spend a lot more loving attention on.
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. So let's Let's look a little bit deeper into voice, and then we're going to look at another copy topic. But as you take a look at your own unique voice, whatever it is, if it's lighthearted or funny or poetic or, you know, a little like on the edge, whatever it is, when you think about those, that voice and the qualities of that voice, how does your copy read? Or maybe a better way to say this is, what is the cadence of your unique voice? So do you write really quick, right, in like two-word sentences? Are you more long form? Are you run on? Do things tend to be alliterated in your voice? Do they rhyme? Are you busting out, you know, song lyrics that people know? Does it seem sing-songy? What's the cadence to your unique voice? And then another question to think about when it comes to your voice are, what are the kind of words that you use? So, for example, obviously because of the work that I do, I use the word business in my copy a lot. Because of my unique voice, I personally do not use the word biz, B-I-Z, right, B-I-Z, in my copy, because biz just does not roll off easily from my tongues. I'm just too, like, old school, not millennial, you know, I don't know, deep something to use the word biz. Biz is not bad at all, but it's not authentic to me. Another example, and I hope it's okay that I'm outing you, Natalie, but Natalie and I were going back and forth on some of her copy yesterday, and she used the word howdy in there. Now, for someone else, howdy would seem so natural and so activating and so engaging. But howdy isn't really part of Natalie's unique, authentic voice. There are other words instead of howdy if she wanted to use hi or hello or, you know, whatever it is, welcome, greet it, right, whatever it is for that voice. But for her specifically, howdy, not so much. As I said earlier, for some people, curse words, and you're not going to really use too much curse words in your copy, but, you know, some people do, right? For some people, curse words, cuss words just roll easily off the tongue. It's so natural. And then for others, it feels really out of place. For some people, using the word bling or, I don't know, ghetto or, I don't know, whatever the lingo is, right? It's so natural. Clearly for me, it is not. Using words like sacred and transformational roll off my tongue way more easily. This is partially content, but really it comes back to voice. Again, for me, I might use, you know, I play around with cadence a bit in my writing. So I might have a longer sentence and then punctuate it with a shorter sentence afterwards for variation. But generally, I'm slightly more long-winded. I'm not going to have a lot of short sentences, boom, 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 boom. But somebody else, that really makes sense for their voice. When I write both in I know you guys notice this in my emails for sure, and this comes out in my copy, I oftentimes, you know, have certain words that I write in all caps. That's like, you know, and where those get put are my cadence. It's the where I accentuate things. So let me just pause here before we move on from voice and just check in. What else are you seeing? What's coming to the surface? What's clicking for you or interesting to you by way of voice and relationship with writing?
Joanna?
Mm-hmm. Hi, Viv.
Hi, it's Viv. Hi. This is really interesting. Just even hearing like what Natalie and Rhea and Laura are sharing, I feel like I've got like little bits and pieces in all of it. But just with what you were recently talking about, I realized like I have a really big tension between the two sides of me in my writing, and I think it's what is holding me back from really enjoying my writing 100%. And I've become kind of better and better at it. But I think that I have a lot of tension between the, like, really analytical and serious and, like, side, and then the one that just I just want to talk about, you know, like I am to a friend and just be really casual and really simple and kind of just really casual about it. And I have more fun when I write casually. And at the same time, I do feel a lot of judgment around it, that it's, you know, too casual, or it's too not colloquial, I don't know what the right word is, but it's too much on that way. And so I end up kind of like slotting in that other part of me. And if if I write all the more intellectual side, it just feels like not all of me is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't yet, and I know like the next step for me is to walk through the door of really stepping more into the casual voice, because it feels a lot more like me. But anyway, yeah, I'm just really noticing a lot about that kind of the tension that's there between those two sides.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you have awareness there and you can see that. And let me just ask you, so when you're with your clients, I'm going to guess that there is no tension between those two parts of you, that you not only like navigate between the intellectual and colloquial, but it's not even like you're going back and forth. They just naturally and organically blend together. So I want you to just take a moment and think about when you're with your clients and clients that you're super comfortable with, maybe not a new client that you're trying to impress or, you know, but somebody that you feel confident with. How do those two parts of yourself come through when you talk to them? How are they working together?
That's such a good question, because that I've only gotten to that place with clients probably in the last year and a half, more so in the last year. And I think it plays together because, and again, it's not like I'm talking to a friend, but when I am explaining something and like really helping them understand what's going on, it's there is the technical bits, and there is this kind of like the science or the physiology or whatever we're talking about and like the importance of it or what that's going to create for them. But then it's also just kind of in our conversation about what's happening, what's going on, and, you know, folded in with, you know, things that are happening in their life and how that's affecting their health. And, you know, we're just really talking about all these really important pieces, but and that kind of diving into the physiology, but then coming back out and moving on, and it just really flows easily.
Yeah, beautiful. So that's what you want to bring to your writing, right? That easy flow between the two, of the intellectual, the colloquial, the friendly, the very, you know, content, you know, information that's coming through so naturally in the conversations. That's where you want to write from that place.
That is so, that's really, really important to step into those shoes in writing. And so I can't wait to try that out.
Good.
And see how that goes.
Yeah, me too. Can't wait to see.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Anything else around voice before we look at a little bit of a different piece around copy? Okay. So the next category, we can call it or whatever, around copy that I want to talk about is actually different than voice. Obviously, like I said earlier, voice is a part of it, but this is more part of the formula, we can say. And that has to do with results. So over the last couple of months, I feel like with almost all of you, you know, any copy of yours that I've read over and you've asked me, you know, what do you think or whatever, probably like 9 times out of 10, one of the things that I'm saying back to you are, what are the results that you're that this offering is going to create? What are the results that this offering is going to create? So what I noticed happens so often, not just for this group, but just for a lot of people writing copy out there, particularly writing marketing copy out there, is that the results somehow get lost in the mix. The specific concrete results. And when I say concrete, they can be inner or outer, but that the specific concrete results somehow are getting lost in the mix. And when the results of your work get lost in the mix, it becomes very difficult to lead a potential client to the next level of your funnel, whatever that is, to whether it's to get them to a conversation, to opt in to your lead magnet, to sign up for, you know, whatever it is. The results absolutely need to be in there somewhere. So you don't want to focus on your process. You want to focus on your results. You don't want to focus on your modality or your technique. You want to focus on your results. You don't want to focus on your format. You want to focus on your results. That doesn't mean that process or modality or technique or format don't come into play in your copy. If they're important, yes, you know, you are going to have maybe a section on your sales page of what the format of a program is, or you might mention somewhere that you do craniosacral work. But the craniosacral work is not why someone is going to buy from you. It's the results that the craniosacral work yields that makes someone buy from you. It is not that you have a lot of private sessions that are included in a program that makes someone buy from you. It's the results that are yielded because it's a high-touch program that's going to activate someone to buy from you. So even as you speak, for example, about format, you want to position it in relationship to the results it yields. For example, this program includes an intimate, sacred community of like-minded women, and that's so important. Because when you're part of a community like this, you're more confident. You feel more able to be vulnerable in your business. You have a tribe of women supporting your back to do the outreach that you're meant to do, you know, so on and so forth, whatever it is. Even when you talk about your bridge, right? Whenever where the bridge comes in the writing or the brilliance based system, which essentially is your bridge. So even when you're talking about the bridge, even when you're talking about the brilliance based system, you want to talk about it in relationship to the results that it yields. So, for example, we'll work on creating an ideal schedule for you, right? So that's one of the bridge pieces, right? You're going to develop an ideal schedule. We'll work on creating an ideal schedule for you so that you never have to feel disorganized, overwhelmed, or out of time again, right? The result comes right after that. Or another example from my bridge. I'll help you befriend your fears so that, right, dot, 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 whatever the results are. So let's pause here for a moment. Well, actually, before we pause, I'm going to give you a little bit, like a three-minute assignment. So what I'd like for you to do is practice writing out three different examples of the so that, right? So together we will X so that Y. Using your own business, whatever you're working on right now, right? So if you're working on your next course, on that, your next opt-in, you know, whatever it is, or even a letter, a tier one letter to a prospect, we do blah, so that blah. And just, I'll give you about 3 minutes. Write out three examples for yourself. I'll give you another minute. Okay, so what are you seeing so far? Either what's coming through in the writing that you just did or around results. And, you know, one thing I'll just ask you to also think about is, have you been really clearly and directly been talking about results in your copy? And what does it bring up for you when I even ask that question? So what are you seeing for yourself or understanding when it comes to results in copy? And we're a little bit of a smaller group today, so even if you've shared, don't be shy to share again. The discussion is really, really important and valuable.
Hi, Joanna. It's Melanie
okay.
again.
I heard Melanie
and Natalie
behind her. Great.
Natalie.
Awesome.
Okay. I noticed myself wanting to freeze up a little bit as we're going into this results part. And I think it brings up for me the story that's just such salesy and markety and icky. Like, I have a story around that. And I know it's not, because, like, when you're talking about the examples of, we'll work on creating an ideal schedule so that you'll never feel disorganized, overwhelmed, or out of time. Like, I get that logically, and my body is having a different experience in that.
Mm-hmm. So check in. What's the experience?
Well, I definitely feel like heat and a closing in and a freezing up.
What's behind that? What's the belief that's behind that?
Well, I don't know exactly. This is what's coming through, that I don't want to promise someone something that I can't deliver.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it hits for me. It's like, who am I to say that this will happen exactly like A plus B equals C? That's where I think I hesitate with it. Because then if they didn't get the results they want, then they would be mad at me, and then they would say shit about my program, and then blah, 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 all the fun stuff that comes from that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Good.
And also, okay. I think I have a limiting belief around, if I say that, then I'm responsible for that to happen, mm-hmm. and that is not how I do my work. You know, it's like I am not taking responsibility for the result. Like, they need to show up and they need to be there. So I think I know that's a lot, but that's a lot of what comes up for me.
No, absolutely. I'm so glad you're bringing it up. That's exactly why I asked, how does it feel when I ask you, are you putting results in your coffee? Because you're not the only one that is feeling this, right? This is the natural knee-jerk reaction from someone who is in integrity in their business a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before I respond to that, I wanna hear some of the wisdom of the group. I wanna mastermind this a little bit, because this is a really important topic. So what is it that you want to share with Melanie around that?
Joanna?
Mm-hmm.
It's Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. Melanie, I want you to first of all know that I absolutely understand, and I feel really similarly, and that I really feel this come up for myself around, in particular, group programs, because in private, I feel like I'm able to have more of a conversation and lead towards them achieving the results set out. Then in group program, I'm like, well, I don't know if they're going to really do what they are intending to do.
Yes.
But what I'm also getting, especially from the example that you were just bringing up around Joanna's DBS of the ideal schedule, is that you're naming intentions that will be set and they'll be guided through, and it really is up to them whether or not, I mean, that setting the, you know, you will set an ideal schedule so that you are no longer hurried and rushed and feel confident that you can do what you want to get done. That, like, it's up to them, right, to live the ideal schedule. The actual creating of the result of creating an ideal schedule, if you're doing it all together there, or given the guidance of how to do it, you're giving them that.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah. Good. So, Melanie, what are you hearing in that that's important?
Well, I get that it's a both and, that it's a calling out the intention and the specificity, and then also acknowledging that it's a mutual collaboration, and that it's not me just saying, here's your schedule, you'll never be disorganized or overwhelmed again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Who else What else do you want to add to this conversation?
Laura here. Hi, Melanie.
Hi.
I shared this with Joanna in my private session with her earlier this week, but I have had so much fear. It wasn't around the copy itself, but around the women who invested in my Joyful Changemaker leadership program, because, you know, it's the biggest investment, the most money, the most time that people have ever made the commitment to working with me in before. And so anyway, the fear around really delivering has been so strong for me. And last week, so anyway, I've been working with that a lot over the last few months. And last week on our group call, and there were legitimate reasons for these women, and but only two women showed up to our group call last week out of the six. You know, it's a small group to start with. And it was actually so liberating for me. Instead of completely freaking me out, it was just like this epiphany hit me, like, oh, like, I really am seriously not responsible for their experience with this work. Yeah. And I really genuinely am here to, like, regardless of what the investment is and what their time investment is and all of that, that I am here to share the tools and the teachings that I have. I am here to hold the space for them, and I am absolutely not in any way responsible for their experience or their results. And so I've been able to connect in individually with each of these women since the call, and have had really powerful conversations about the fears that they themselves are having around being seen in the group and showing up fully. Anyway, so I just think that there's a deepening in that I am trying really hard to work within myself in the deep inner work of understanding that even when it comes to copy, that, like, it's okay to write that this is what's possible for you, knowing that the only way it really will happen is if they do the work. But all that I can do is show up and share.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah.
I love that.
Beautifully said. So what's so important here is that in order to directly articulate results in your copy, there is inner work that needs to be done. There is a level of confidence that you want to bring energetically as you're writing. And there is an understanding that you can't make anything happen for anyone else, nor is it your job to. But just as Fran and Laura so beautifully articulated, what you can claim is that you have tools and wisdom that will guide and create opportunity for the results and the outcomes to happen. Before I get to Natalie, who I know wanted to share, is there anything else around this piece in particular that wants to be spoken?
Are you asking me directly or just the whole group?
Oh, no, I'm asking the group.
Joanna,
but also Noga, hi.
Hi, yeah. I want to add something here. It really strikes me how universal this is of the who am I. I've struggled with that, and then I go and, you know, talk to my, you know, my mentoring group, and they struggle with that, and on and on. And I think I've been thinking about it a lot, and there's definitely that component of co-creation, right? It's like, I'm going to show up with all my tools, with everything that I have, and they will have to show up as well. And this is like how we're going to co-create the result for them. And something else that I've been thinking lately has to do with, like, hierarchy. I hate pronouncing these words. Like that.
Pronounce it so like, beautifully.
Oh, thank you. That isn't that question, like, who am I? It comes from, like, a place that, well, if I'm going to offer or promise, quote-unquote, this result, then maybe I have to be more than them, bigger than them, already knowing all the answers. And I think that's a little bit of an illusion. Yes, our clients are a version of ourselves, maybe a little bit behind us, but I started thinking about it as more like, Melanie, they chose you at this time because they see you as their guide right now in these circumstances. Because you have what they need right now. So it's and maybe at some point you're gonna need somebody else, and maybe at some point, you know, it just kind of like ebbs and flows, and not so much of like that hierarchy of who's better.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah,
so
I appreciate that. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Melanie.
I was just going to say, I really appreciate all the feedback. I don't have an issue with that part. It's more about, I am so right there with you on that. Like, my big thing is, how can I be in discovery while also having my clients be in discovery? Like, that's my that's my practice. So that doesn't feel like the issue. It's more about claiming it in the copy. Like, it's not in the group itself. It's not in the private session itself. It's more about in the copy. There's some block for me in that. So that's I just want to speak to that. I appreciate it, but that doesn't resonate as much with me in that.
Okay.
So what I'll add, two things, and I know we're almost at time, but if everyone can hang on, because I think this is important. First of all, I love what you said, Noga, about the hierarchy, and even approaching copy in that way might be helpful if anyone is experiencing some of this, anxiety or whatever you want to call it, that it's not a better than or worse than piece. And then I do think the other thing is, for lack of a better way of saying this, like the quality of the wording. So I've lately, I'll just be totally honest. So last year, I hired a coach who to help me with a couple of things who I didn't know from beforehand, and I pretty immediately tried to get out of the contract because I saw very, very, very quickly that she was lying in her copy. Her copy was amazing, so much so that it, like, drew me in from a Facebook ad late one night. And then as soon as I was in it, it was so clear to me that it was out of integrity, and that's when I actually first realized that people lie in their marketing, which was, to me, like, oh, my God, right? I mean, I knew it beforehand, but I didn't realize people did it as much as they did, and here was this person really teaching. She wasn't saying lie in your copy, but basically she was using languaging in her copy like, I guarantee that I can, right? That's an example. I guarantee that I can. Now, if you guys can't tell, I feel really strongly about this. Unless you can absolutely guarantee that you can deliver that result, don't use that in your copy. That is out of integrity. That is promising something that you can't deliver. But saying, we're going to work on this so that you can this,
is very different than a guarantee. Or saying every single one of my clients, blah, 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 right? So I know that we're at time. If you have to go, obviously, please go. But if there's anything else that wants to be spoken on this before we wrap, I'd love to hear it. Star 7.
Hey, it's Natalie.
Hi.
So I don't know what specifically my question is, but I've been kind of stuck on this one, and I'm just wondering if I could just give you an example of something I drafted to see if it's close to what I'm doing. I think what you're teaching here is the difference between features and benefits. Like, it's not the features that are included. It's not, you don't buy a pair of shoes because they're made in Italy. You buy them because they make you feel sexy, right?
Right.
So if I understand what you're saying, this is, we're trying to get to the benefits of, like, that, what's in it for me? What do I get out of this? Is that, am I hearing you right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
So
you can mention that the sneaker is made in Italy.
Right.
If you contextualize it for the result, right?
Right.
This is made from the finest leather in, you know, most comfortable leather in Italy, or, you know, whatever it is, right?
Okay.
If that creates relevance for the results.
Okay, so in terms of baby sleep, this is, you know, I've been trying to rework all of my copy for my website and my program guide, and I have sort of bullet points about the benefits in my program guide, like, you will learn this, and you'll get this, and you'll receive this, and you will feel blah, blah, blah. But if I try and turn it out around into this context, how does this sound for you? Like, I just drafted, we will help empower your baby to sleep independently so that she gets the restful sleep she needs, and you can all feel rested and relax night and day, or something like that. Is that the sort of the formula that you're suggesting here?
Yeah, and I'm not, just to be clear, I'm not even suggesting a form. You don't have to do this or that. That was just a good
right.
way to, you know, use an example. But yes, you know, I'd switch up some of the work, don't use rest twice, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
But yeah,
right,
absolutely right. On the right track for sure.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good question. Anything else around anything that we've looked at today before we wrap? Okay, then I'll trust that we're complete. Such a great conversation and discussion today. I hope that this is inspiring for you around your copy. I hope that it will help you be more easeful and be in better relationship with your writing. I'm excited to see more of your authentic and unique voice come through in your writing, and to see you confidently stand behind the results that your powerful work offers. And if you have any questions or want to continue discussion, let's do that on Facebook. Sending you all a big hug. I'll talk to you soon.
The moderator has left the conference.